Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to Ask Kathleen. Hey, I'm your guest host, Jerome Esprit, sitting in for Kathleen today. Hopefully my co-host Ronnie will come in for Ask Kathleen and join us. Hope you're having a good weekend. We are doing a special show just to put away all of that nonsense about the president. We know that we're coming into a kind of an election season. You know, it's kind of political time. So why not have a political strategist on to kind of tell you what's going on? So on this show, we're going to start off with news, and then we're going to go into just pretty much talking about what happened during the first term of the presidency, and you're going to get a lot of facts. So if you're missing it and you want to catch it on the downloads for iTunes, hey, make sure you go back and check it out in the archives, because it's going to be nothing but facts today. So you know what? Join us. And you know what? We're going to start off with some Esprinet news intro music. We're going to start this off again because we're going to start with news, and we're going to see how this is going to go. Let's see. Here we go.
Welcome to Esprinet News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
Don't ever let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
It's not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Should I remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
I want to welcome you back again, Esprinet News. Ask Kathleen on Esprinet News. I want to welcome co-host Ronnie on to the show. Hey, Ronnie.
Hi. How are you?
Happy June. I know. You know, it seems like it's just been years since we've been on. So, matter of fact, it doesn't really seem like June, does it?
Well, no, because the weather's going in and out. It started out being pretty, you know, summery, and then it changed, and so we're still like on the fence here.
Oh man, and is it raining there?
Yeah, it stopped, but it was raining and thundering for a while. Do you have rain?
Yep. You know, up in New York State, we have rain up this way, and a lot of it, apparently.
So we had rain the other day, pretty heavy Friday night, but today it just started a little bit, and then it stopped, and it's supposed to rain tomorrow, and Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, so like, okay.
Man, okay, well, you know, hopefully it'll pick up, and we'll be on our way cruising towards the nice little summer weather season. And for the record, you know, seasons don't bother me at all. I don't mind at all.
And I don't mind this weather. I'm very happy with the on the fence. I'm not really sure how hot I want to get. I'm very happy.
Hey,
a couple of summers here that were just a little bit warmer than I appreciate. So I'm okay with this.
And you know, when you start talking about drought season, that is always going to be a problem.
I know. So we had the drought during the winter, so they have to make up for it during the summer. So I know the rest of I'm glad that Kathleen's, like, not listening. Hopefully she's not, because she wants it to be 450 degrees. All my family members, they want scorching weather in the summer. They want at least 99, nothing less than 99, or else they're not happy. So I can stand the 81, 78, 82. I'm good.
Oh, man. You know, see, and I go in and out of that because of the bug factor and all of that good stuff. So, you know, we don't have to swat a lot of mosquitoes in the winter because they're all gone. You know, so we have, I like the change of seasons. No real hot weather for me.
No real hot weather for me. You know, I was living in Nevada for the last 10 years. And so when I would go into Reno and Carson area, which is not quite as hot as Vegas, but maybe like 2 degrees less.
Uh-huh.
So we're talking 116, 112 every day. Yeah.
Man. Oh, yeah, that is a bit much.
Yeah, that's a bit much. Where you can't get into your car. You have to, like, put the air conditioner off for 10, 15 minutes before you can get in it.
this is
wonderful.
Yeah, I was going to say, you must be in your glory a little bit just in comparison to all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't live in that area, but sometimes I had to travel there. It was just, oh, my God, ridiculous. No. So anyway, I know you have some exciting things going on for us tonight, Jerome.
Okay, well, you know, on that note, since you had to put me back on track, we are doing a show. Welcome to Ask Kathleen. You can join in. You can call us. Area code 909-265. I always forget this number. 265-9189. Do you know this number, Ronnie? Because I might have to defer to you every now and then.
Actually, sure. Let me see it. I don't know it by heart, but I can check.
It's 909-265-9189. You can call in. You can join us. You can hit us up in the chat. If you're online, just raise your hand. We will bring you in. So how we're going to do today's show is we're going to go through some news stories, some of our top news stories. We're going to then go into the president and his first term. We know the first term's not over. But there's a lot of bad news. I shouldn't say a lot of bad news, but there's a lot of misrepresentation of the facts. So we are going to clear it up just so you can have something in the archives when somebody says, what has the president done? We are going to give you the facts today on Ask Kathleen. So
that's fantastic.
Hey, we got dudes.
My favorite subject.
See how that works? And Ronnie, you have something to rave about today, right?
Yes.
Okay,
I most
cool.
Because,
you know, I had quite a few things for you to rave about, but we will go into Ronnie's rave in a little bit after we come in, the whole P. Diddy and paying for his son kind of stuff. We will go through all of that stuff a little bit later.
Okay,
but,
awesome.
Okay, so we're gonna take a quick 60-second break. We're going to come right back with the news, okay? All right, so hang in there with us. Our calling number, area code 909-265-9189. We'll be right back after this.
Minutes of physical activity a day and eating well can help get your child healthy. So keep them active and eating well every day.
Skip a rope Saturday, freeze tag Friday, tap dance Thursday.
Well and move a lot. Get ideas. Get involved. Get going at letsmove.gov. That's letsmove.gov. A message from USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Okay, I want to welcome you back to Ask Kathleen. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit. For today, I'm sitting in for Kathleen. We have Ronnie on. Ronnie is co-hosting today, but we're going to start off with a little bit of news. Now, in our first story of our news from this week, we're just doing a week summary of news. The price of oil is headed for its biggest monthly decline since December 2008. Oil has dropped more than 16% so far in May, erasing all of its gains for the year. So earlier this year, energy economists mostly agreed that oil demand would hit a record in 2012. They all were wrong, so I thought I'd share that. The U.S. gasoline consumption has dropped to for 62 straight weeks. Okay, I'm going to repeat that. U.S. gas consumption has dropped for 62 straight weeks. And so for all of the people who kind of doubt the recovery kind of stuff, our oil prices, consumption has gone down. We actually export more oil for the first time in ever than we actually import in this country. So we export more refined oil.
How was it that
Oh, I'm sorry. I cut you off. What were you saying, Ronnie? How was it
that? They don't report that.
It's on the news feeds like everything else. And so it doesn't fit a narrative most of the time. So the reason that we normally kind of do this in news is because if you're telling a news story and you want to give bad news, for example, it doesn't really fit the narrative when gas prices are high that we're consuming less oil than we've ever consumed before. So our oil consumption has drastically dropped. And when we go into our president news, we'll talk about a promise that he made to stop, bring down our oil consumption by the year. I think it was 2032, so he wanted to set us on an energy efficient track, and we are at historic lows for oil consumption in this country already.
That's so awesome.
Yep, and you know, as you know, the gallon gas of regular unleaded has dropped 31 cents since its peak of the first week of April. Natural gas has dropped 32 cents in the past 4 days of oil trading, and heating oil lost about 7 cents, so that's gone down. Now, the U.S. Energy Information Administration said that crude oil inventories rose by 2.2 million barrels this week, keeping its supplies on the upper limit of its average range for this time of year. So we are at historic highs in our oil reserves as well. Now, private employers created 133,000 jobs in May, according to ADP, the payroll processing firm. That was up from April's 113,000 jobs reported. And now that the jobs numbers have come out, it shows that we lost a lot more government jobs, apparently, again. So our numbers are around 69,000 jobs. But this still makes the 27th straight month of positive job growth in the U.S. Now, U.S. retailers report a stronger than expected sales for May as bargains helped shoppers overcome anxiety about the economy and the jobs market. So that's an encouraging sign for the second quarter in our GDP growth. Now, those are the top four main news stories. I didn't want to cut Ronnie off on those, but because we're now going into the John Edwards story.
Good.
So I figure I'd slow down on the economic side because we're going to cover that after our next break. And I know once we get into, you know, the presidential stuff, there's a ton of that. But a jury this week in North Carolina found former U.S. presidential candidate John Edwards not guilty or acquitted on one of six charges of misuse of campaign funds, but could not agree on the other five. So the judge of this campaign finance trial declared a mistrial because the jury is deadlocked. Now, former Senator Edwards, who is 58, didn't realize he was so young, denied using donor funds to hide his mistress's pregnancy during the 2008 run for the presidency. That was almost a tongue twister for me. Pregnancy, presidency. All right.
Yeah, that is a tongue twister. The president's forget it.
Two words you don't want to hear next to each other.
Exactly.
We'll make sure we.
Oh my God.
I'll make a mental note on my editing. Don't put those two words next to each other ever. Now, First Lady Michelle Obama has launched a book tour. She launched a book on gardening. It's called The America Growing, I guess, the story of the White House kitchen garden and gardens across America. Now, the First Lady's 271-page book details her gardening hits and misses as she hopes to give hopes that it will give people inspiration to start growing their own plants. Now, the First Lady holds out and raises vegetables and vegetable beds in the South Lawn. I was trying to think of how to say that, but they have a vegetable garden in the South Lawn, and she said that an expression of her hopes for the nation's children, just as we just as each seed we plant has potential to become something extraordinary, so does every child, is what she wrote in the book. So the book is divided into four sections marking the seasons and includes a complement of recipes for each season. So if you want to pick that up, American Grown, The Story of the White House Kitchen Garden and Gardens Across America. I forgot to ask, do you garden, Ronnie?
Actually, I do a little bit.
Oh, man. I know what books on your Christmas
have
list.
I don't have vegetables, but I do have plants that I have to. We have a little garden, so we have to get out there and do weeding at times. And we right now we're going to, it's time to put some plants in, so.
Yeah, well.
I sure do.
I was going to say, sometimes that happens. You have to get out during the season. And so, hence the change of seasons, right?
Mm-hmm. It's fun, too. I like gardening. I don't mind.
I'm going to have to grow into that one. I'm going to take a zero right now, but maybe later I may enjoy it or something. Now, the U.S. weather officials predict that there will be 9 to 15 storms during this year's Atlantic hurricane season. Now, the nation's Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, predicts 4 to 8 of those storms will become hurricanes, and but it's a near normal season, is what they say in quotes. Now, the six-month Atlantic hurricane season began June 1st, and the center predicts one of the three storms will become major hurricanes, which are Category 3 or higher storms with sustained winds of 111 miles per hour or higher. So I'm not looking forward to that. But yeah, not at all. Now, you know, this news story actually kind of fits into what the show is going to turn into in a moment, but a panel of astrologers at a conference in New Orleans unanimously predicted that U.S. President Barack Obama will win his reelection bid in November. Now, David Riley, an Atlanta astrologer and spokesman for the United Astrology Conference, said the group of six panelists used various methods to predict the president will win over presumptive Republican nominee Mitt Romney. And Riley said that the panel successfully predicted his win in 2008 as well. So, and this time they actually brought astrologers from other countries, which I thought was interesting, but all of them unanimously said.
That's interesting.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I told you, I'm writing a book on quantum mechanics and quantum physics, and also I studied a lot of astrology, so, you know.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know, see, I try to encompass a lot of things. I think that's over the years of just picking up a book and saying this is interesting and just going with it. So,
well, that's really interesting, quantum physics, but I know that's intense. Very intense. Mathematical.
It's written about quantum living, and so we can literally do a whole show on quantum on quantum physics or quantum living. Like, it is the concept of understanding that the world is what you make it, opposed to you forcing your will on everybody else. So a part of easy living is more spiritual living, more than it is, you know, being religious or being atheist or crazy or any of those things. You don't have to be something that you can feel your way through life. So with that, you know, and I know I'm straying off of our news for a second, but since I have a little information on this, there's an old Kemet saying, an old Egyptian-African saying, and it's mainly a thought, but it's the reason why we use the words never mind. It means always your heart, never your mind. You should always go by what your heart tells you. Isn't that interesting?
I've heard that before, yeah.
Yeah, in the Western world, we think we're smart, and so when you use your head too much, you're sorting with your ego and not living spiritually. Can't live through your ego. Doesn't work.
Okay, all right, I'll agree with that.
Yeah, and I guess they knew that, you know, thousands of years ago, and we lost it at some point. Hence, with the marketing campaigns of everybody trying to brainwash one way or another. But We know how this goes. Now, the federal government shut down two bus companies this week for safety violations. It said constitutes immediate hazards, yeah, for travelers. Now, the Department of Transportation, in a wide-ranging order covering three companies shuttling 1,800 passengers a day up and down the East Coast, found that I-95 Coach, Apex Bus, and New Century Travel did not make sure its drivers were properly licensed and did not screen for drugs and alcohol, amongst other lapses of federal code. So I-95, which has three subsidiaries, QME Express Incorporated, Tony's Bus Line, and Tony's Bus Line Express. Now, the DOT has issued shutdown orders to several of those subsidiaries in the past, but companies would often elude safety changes by reforming as a new company. The agency has also barred 10 people from serving bus passengers, including ticket sales, which I think is kind of strange. You're going to be banned from selling tickets for buses. Anywho, the DOT called the action the largest single safety crackdown in the agency's history.
That's amazing. But, you know, you can see them all over the city. I don't know if you have them up where you are, but the people are lined up all over the city getting on these buses. They do those turnarounds to Atlantic City and different places like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's a big business because, and people, it's never empty. It's always packed wherever they are depoted, you know, like you see them going on 34th Street and places, they always have a line of people, three and four deep, getting on those buses. It's been a big deal because people have always told me, oh, no, get on that bus if you want to go, like, to D.C. or something like, or you know.
Yeah.
You want to go to Boston or whatever, get on the bus, which I never have.
You know, if one of these companies, I guess it's the, well, it would be the obvious Asian one, the Hume Express operates mainly out of Chinatowns in different cities. And apparently when you have a captive audience, I mean, I guess they don't care who drives. You know what I mean? Like, so when you take a specialty and say, it's only leaving from this neighborhood, we won't really be regulated.
And also people want to get where they want to go, to the casinos and that kind of thing.
Right. Oh, well, that's always true. You know, people have
to.
Hey, I would catch the bus to the casino. Now, although I don't, and I'm not a big gambler, but I can see how that could be fun.
You can see how that can be fun. You know, you want to go to gamble. You want to put as much in the machines and least in the bus, you know, least on your transportation. So if he's charging like $25 round trip or whatever it is, you can't argue with that.
Well, but the trick on the buses goes like this. If you take a bus and you pay to get on a bus to go to a casino, they usually have a deal with the casino, so they give you money back. So you get, like, food vouchers and all of that good stuff. That would be for those of us who don't usually win a lot at the casino. Have a food voucher. I guess that was just my interpretation. My quantum physics won't let me think of things negatively, but I just had to throw it out there because it was funny, not because I believe
it. It is funny. Okay, so you're going to turn me on to thinking negatively. I like that.
Oh, no. If you ever notice, I don't really engage in negative conversation. I don't like it. It doesn't fit my spirit anymore at all since studying. Since I've learned what I've learned, I understand that you are what you eat and you are what you consume. So, by the way, you're listening to Ask Kathleen. You can call in if you have a quantum physics question. Air code 909-265-9189 if you want to join us. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit. We have Ronnie on co-hosting today as I get ready to answer this quantum physics question. I didn't want people tuning in going, what am I listening to? Mm-hmm. So the trick is that once you learn that you are programming yourself daily, like people who see negative always see negative. They can be in the same exact spot and with someone who sees positive and all they'll see is goodness. And my old example used to be, I am hesitant on saying this, I don't know why, but we would have this running joke that, you know, you would go out with friends and you have one friend that will always find the hooker. So, like, it's really funny. It's like, why would you date her? Right? But because they're not attracted to me, so I can be in the grocery store and just people who are have certain characters won't draw themselves to me. You know, so you, instead of asking the question, how come I'm picking people like that, you have to wonder why you're drawn to them. It's because you match energy with them. So quantum physics says that if you think negative or if you have certain anxieties, you are drawing towards you. It's not the other way around. You're not picking. Or you're drawing from, you're picking from the people who you're drawing, which is pretty much the same thing. It's your only eligible pool. So hopefully that wasn't too much. I tried to stay away from the quantum too much.
Okay, that's good. I get it.
Did you follow me on that?
I did. I sure did.
Yeah, I was trying to ease up on my example, but quantum physics just says there's many laws of nature, right? So you have a law of attraction, like you have a law of repulsion. So whatever it is that you think you cannot have, by right, you can't have it. So you should never hate rich people. You'll never be rich.
Oh, yeah. Well, it coincides with the law of attraction.
Well, yes. Yeah, they all work together. It's funny how that works, but law of attraction, law of repulsion, there's a law of polarity, right? When you you can't to have something, you have to give something up. So to have anything, to be free, you have to stop internally setting limits on yourself. Or to be rich, you have to totally give up being poor, which means if you have a dollar and you're thirsty, get something to drink. That's probably why you have a dollar. It doesn't mean hold it just in case you get another dollar.
Right, right.
Yeah, because anything that you gouge, you rightfully can't have.
That's interesting. And that's the book you're writing.
Yes, we're writing a quantum living. I'll send you some excerpts of it, or you can check us out. If you want an excerpt of it while we're writing, because I'm taking a lot of questions, and not from Ronnie, but I send out to take questions that helps me write. So if you want to know a little bit about quantum physics or quantum living, hey, send me an email at espritradio@soulofsyracuse.com, and we'll talk about it. Or I'll put it in the chat room if you want to join in and talk about a little quantum stuff. But like I said, we can do a whole show on quantum.
Esprit Radio.
Esprit Radio at Soul of Syracuse, S-O-U-L of Syracuse.com.
Okay.
There you go. Now, Mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg, who pretty much don't like so much, but he is calling for a municipal ban on the sale of supersized sugary drinks to tackle obesity.
Isn't that great?
No.
And then the next day he declared New York Donut Day.
No, I'm not mad about Donut Day.
Nobody was mad about Donut Day. We thought it was fantastic Donut Day, but why? How can you say we can't have soda and then the next day is Donut Day?
You know what?
Very cute.
I'm against so much government intervention. I just really got to tell you that if I have, like, I buy 2 liters all the time, right? So I buy a dollar 2 liter, and I won't pay $2 for a 16-ounce. But whether I drink it all in the same day or it takes me days to drink it is none of Mayor Bloomberg's business.
Luckily you don't have to deal with them because you're upstate New York.
Well,
so you don't
it doesn't matter. We don't want him setting a precedent anyplace. Like, they need to get
like
rid of that.
Only in Manhattan, so if you go out of Manhattan, you can buy whatever you want. I believe. I'm not sure.
Right, and I have to say, if it's silly in Manhattan, it's silly everywhere else in the world. So I will give them that much credit. You can't do that. Okay, but let me say this. You cannot regulate eating because so many people are not eating. It's like trying to raise the prices of the dollar menu to stop obesity. You can't do that. You can't say, I would rather for you not to eat or be obese. Now, so you can't have it both ways. You have to really cut back on this because, you know, corporations, they will give you a half a sandwich and charge you $5 if you let them.
Exactly.
So you could... So once you go step across the line of saying we're going to regulate you to only small portions, corporations will go, cool, I can make a whole lot more money.
Sure. Right? And I'm sure that's what they're thinking.
Great. If I can make 16, 18 slices per pizza and charge a dollar, I'm good.
That, yeah. I don't care. They can eat less and I can make more.
There you go.
They're not going to stop charging.
I know
everything in Manhattan, a bottle of water in Manhattan is ridiculous. It's only almost $3. What we were thinking is that, you know, if you want people to stop drinking excessively sweet, excessively large drinks, then make water free.
Right.
Make bottled water free, and then people will drink water.
You know what? I agree with that. And,
I borrowed
you know,
that, though. That was Coco's idea, but it was a great idea. It's like, make bottled water free. We'll all drink bottled water, you know, and we'll recycle the containers, and it's a win-win all the way around for kids, for adults, for the diabetics, and whoever else, you know, the obese. It won't cut it all the way down, but it sure would be a big help. But do you think that's going to happen?
We'll see.
No.
Well, I have to say this, you know, just for the record, it is, well, how can I put this? Again, it's my quantum living thing. It's how you lose weight, right? You can lose weight easily by telling yourself that you're losing weight faster than you can by changing your diet. So
exactly.
chewing that for quantum physics, right? So,
nice.
Yay. All right, so we're gonna take a break. We're going to come back with our special presidential segment, and we're going to cover after the break, we're going to cover the first 2 years because there's so much stuff, and then we're going to cover the next year and a half of information. So stick with us. Remember, our number is area code 323, area code 909-265-9189. Hopefully Kathleen is not checking us out, and she's going to listen later because she's going to shake me and Ronnie for tearing up the show today. So we're going to tear up. But we'll be right back after these messages. Hold on. That's pretty loud.
We'll be right back. If you're looking for the perfect gift for a baby or a young child in your life, whether you're a parent or a grandparent or just friend, forget about the cutesy outfits, the toys, the diaper bags. You want to give a gift that's really going to make a forever difference in a child's life. How about the gift of reading? Let me tell you about the Your Baby Can Read program and the special offer that we're offering today. Call 1-877-351-4556. That's 1-877-351-4556. 877-351-4556.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Moms everywhere are finding ways to keep kids active and healthy. Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov.
I want to see more serious political conversations starting to happen.
I want corporations out of the government, and I want people back in.
I want peace rather than militarization.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want economic justice.
I want to be able to speak my voice without jeopardizing my job.
I want a greater regulation of the banks and the market.
I want my kids to have a job and health care.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
No white jeans after Labor Day. What are you, my grandmother?
I'll rock white jeans whenever I want. And with Tide Plus Bleach, they'll stay white. Not whitish, not eggshell, not A-crew. Whatever that is. White.
That's my Tide. What's yours?
Hey, 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 hey
Welcome back to Ask Kathleen. I'm your host, Jerome F. Free. I'm hanging out with Ronnie today. How are you,
yes,
Ronnie?
I'm wonderful. It's a great Sunday evening.
Hey, you know,
weather, because it's nice and cool.
You
I'm
know,
not melting.
Right. I was going to say, I prefer it to be nice and cool, so I am really good with this. It doesn't bother me at all.
Yes, and cool people.
Hey,
life,
that's what we
living do. Life on the cool side.
That's what we have to do. That's kind of how we roll. Now, this part of the program, we are going to talk about some of the We're going to talk about some of the accomplishments of the president, obviously. But after hearing, you know, since winter presidential season, and people feel like they need to distort information, today is one of those shows that we felt, hey, we need to come out and start talking about some of the accomplishments of the president. And so we're going to start off by giving you the accomplishments before the Republicans got in control of the House and started disrupting everything. Now, this may seem a little foreign to you because we seem to have short-term memory every now and then, but you know, I'm here to remind you that the president has had a lot of accomplishments. So, you know, if you want to jump in on any of this, Ronnie, I'm just gonna rant through some of the 2009 and 10 accomplishments for the president. Okay.
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 No.
All right. So, the first one I would like to go through is the Consumer Protections Act that started in the Health Care Act. Now, one of those Consumer Protection Act, the policies that kicked in, is that it will no longer be legal for insurance company to deny kids coverage because of pre-existing conditions. You cannot be dropped if you're sick. No more rescissions, which means that if you spend too much money, they can actually go back and kick you off. That's done. Companies can no longer impose lifetime limits on your benefits. And they cannot deny coverage because of minor mistakes on your application. Do you know they used to do that? So you go in for surgery. They say, oh, yeah, you didn't tell us you had a toothache in the second grade.
That's right.
Yeah, you can't do that. Children can stay on insurance until they're 26. Some preventative care like immunizations and mammograms will no longer require a copay or deductibles. Women do not have to have a referral to see an OBGYN. It allows you to go to the nearest emergency room without penalty. Now, some insurance policies said if you're not in an emergency room that's near your wherever you had the policy enforced, with your hometown essentially, then they wouldn't cover it or they're covered at a different rate. That's against the law now. Healthcare reform makes it clear that you can choose any available primary care provider as long as your provider and any available participating pediatrician is available. So if you have a child and one of your plans don't have a pediatrician as your primary care, you can go to anybody else. Healthcare reforms guarantees that for you. Just wanted to share that part of healthcare reform. And, you know, there's a lot of other stuff, but this is 2 years ago. Like, so this was signed into law 2 years ago for those people who can't figure out what the president has been doing. Now, the Credit Card Act and Responsibility, the penalty phase of the Credit Card Act went into effect. Companies are prohibited from raising your rates without, you know, advance notification or arbitrarily if customers aren't paying their bill on time. They can't raise your rates for that anymore. You know, there are no – huh?
Fantastic.
No, there are no fees over $25 on your credit cards. That's a part of the law. There are no fees larger than the violation. So if you bounce your check or credit card, you go over your limit by 25 cents, they cannot by law charge you more than 25 cents as a penalty. That's the law. There is no inactivity fee, which a lot of companies got away with this. If you don't use your credit card or your gas card or your department store card, they would charge you an inactivity fee. That's now against the law. There are no multi-penalty fees, which means you can't charge a fee and then charge a fee because you got a fee last month. So if you go over your credit limit, for example, and they charge you a fee, then the next month you're still over your credit limit because you had a fee, they can't charge you.
Okay. That's the fee we charge when we charge the fee.
Exactly. But it's why credit card companies were disliking the banks were disliking the president early, because they made a lot of money double billing. So, yeah. And if you cancel a transaction, say you use your card and you say, hey, I want to take this back, and you cancel the transaction, there is no transaction fee, no cancellation transaction fee for the credit cards anymore. It's against the law. All right. So other signed legislation was Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the Act of 2010, the Tax Relief and Unemployment Insurance Reauthorization and Job Creation Act of 2010, the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act of 2010. You know, I want to talk about that for a second, because you said about free water, about giving away free water.
Right.
In the last segment about the Bloomberg.
Yes.
And, well, in the Hungry Kids Act, do you know that if Congress, the Republican Congress, would fund it, because it was already paid for when they passed it, it guarantees that kids in school is guaranteed to have water, bottled water for lunch for free.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Good. Yes.
That's good to hear. Very good to hear.
And again, it's already passed. It's already there. Congress is holding it up. We want to talk about the no good stuff in Congress. Now, we have a Food Safety Modernization Act. It strengthens the power of the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, which oversees 80% of the nation's food supply. The bill is thought to be the most significant overhaul of the food safety system in decades, since 1938. Or 72 years for those people who are doing the math. Food safety has been updated. So we have that. We have a Truth in Caller ID Act, which amends the Communications Act of 1934. It prohibits anybody from calling you with an inaccurate caller ID information if they're intended to defraud you, cause harm, or just wrongly obtain anything, and that's what the law says, wrongfully obtain anything of value. So a bill collector can't call you and say, I'm somebody else, and use somebody else's name on their caller ID. Yes, that went into effect early on.
When?
2010. There's no fraud in caller ID. Or you can sue them. So if they break the law, that is the point. Like, when laws are passed, some people count on you not knowing what the law is, and that's why we're here telling you. Again, you're listening to Ask Kathleen. You can call in. You can join us on the program if you have any questions. We are just going through the first part, and we really don't have enough time to talk about all the accomplishments, but we're gonna do our shot on the big stuff. First 2 years of the POTUS, of the President of the United States, of his term, just so that you don't have any questions about what has been done since the president has been there. And the most amazing stuff will come a little bit later when we talk about what's going on this past year. So for the first 2 years was when the legislation was passed, and the Congress has not passed any meaningful legislation in 2 years.
Isn't that amazing? Items, though, the big ticket items.
Which ones?
The Consumer Protection Act, that Credit Card Act, that's phenomenal, because you know how many people have gotten burned from end to end with those credit card fees.
Right.
And I believe he had something to do with that. I'm not sure, so correct me if I'm wrong, but that ATM, when they were going to start charging you to use your debit card.
Oh, right. That's a part of the Credit Card Accountability and Responsibility. I'm sorry, Credit Card Accountability and Responsibility and Disclosure Act of 2009. The amendment in July says, in the case of a gift certificate, store gift certificate, or a general use prepaid card that produced prior to April 1st, 2010, you should consider any such certificate or card with funds that expire to have no expiration date with respect to the underlying funds. So the moral of that story is that once you buy a gift card, they never expire.
Well, that's fantastic, too.
Right. People were saying if you don't use it within 90 days, then the value goes down, and then it goes down. No, if you give somebody cash, they owe you cash, is what the Credit Card Accountability and Responsibility Act is did in 2009. And also, period. And so, you know, this act also reminds me of what happened with the cruise ship, the Italian cruise ship.
Yes.
Because people don't really know of this act. But in 2010, the Obama administration, or President Obama, signed into law the Cruise Vessel Security and Safety Act of 2010. Now, this was the first time that this act has been updated or modified. And matter of fact, it was attached to another one, but he created a whole new Consumer Protection Act just for cruise ships, Vessels and Security Safety Act. Now, vessel design, equipment, construction, and retrofitting requirements, fire safety codes, criminal activity, prevention and response guide, all of that stuff is available on the internet. Isn't that cool? That was passed in 2010.
Cool, because they had been having a series of really unsafe, a lot of unsafe activity on the cruise ships. People become missing, you know, and no recourse for the people on the ship. No FBI, you know, intervention. No police intervention. Once they're out in the seas, that's it. You can do whatever you want.
But how cool is that to have some kind of foresight for that, right?
That's
so
good.
That's been done without this Republican Congress. This is all stuff that makes President Obama the most legislative. He's the most legislatively. Oh gosh, I can't even think of the word. Successful president since Lyndon Johnson. Like that's how much legislation he passed. He has
most
the best
people
legislative
listening don't
record.
Even remember Lyndon Johnson.
Yeah, he has the best legislative record since then. So just in case you guys are hung up on healthcare reform, is paid for. It reduced the deficit by $150 billion, and the next 10 years it will be $3 trillion, and that's according to the Congressional Budget Office that also said that $1.3 trillion were saved in the first year.
Wow.
That is healthcare reform, people. So you get rid of healthcare reform, that money's coming back. Just thought I'd share that information. Now, there's another act, the Health Givers and Veterans Omnibus Health Service Act of 2010. Now, this bill helps with the training, funding, and counseling for caregivers and promote pilot child caring programs for women veterans under treatment at VA hospitals. And there's independent oversight to prevent abuse and readjustment counseling for National Guards and reservists. And so he did that specifically for the military. And then there's another act called the Family of Fallen Heroes Act, which covers the moving cost of immediate family members who is lost in service, military intelligence, or security personnel. And it eliminates co-payment for veterans who are catastrophically disabled. I didn't know they had copay. And I didn't know that when someone dies and off in service during President Bush's time, the family had to pay the moving cost.
No way.
Yes. And so President Obama came in, he pays for the government picks up the moving cost, and they actually let you and family members go receive the body as well. You had to pay for that on your own under George Bush. I know. Okay, now.
Silent.
I know. Because, you know what? And again, you know, it's the reason that we're doing this particular show is because people seem to forget in our short-term memory all of these things that happen. And we go, well, what happened during this administration time? Because the Republicans want you to forget all of this stuff.
They want you not even to be aware. They keep stirring the big mud pot of, oh, he's done nothing. And people,
That's right.
Our brains are really not, we don't stay stimulated enough with what really has gone. We just, you know, the microwave we live in goes by so fast we can't keep up.
It is kind of our fault, but it's in addition, the media's fault for not, for letting people tell lies. So when someone says the president hasn't done anything, they should pretty much respond, say, what do you mean? Like what? What would you have done that the president hasn't done? And they have no answers for that.
No answers.
Right. Now, there's another act that he was signed in 2010, the Improper Payments and Elimination and Recovery Act. Now, this was to cut waste and fraud in government and create a do-not-pay list, you know, which was a consolidated database of every individual and company that is ineligible for federal payments. So before checks are mailed out, agencies are required to check the list to make sure their payments are to the right person in the right amount for the right reason. So if you're a defense contractor and you've been disbarred for shoddy work, and companies that haven't paid their taxes, or folks who are incarcerated or dead, or if you're on that list, you're getting no money. And they eliminated redundancy in paying people because they were paying people who weren't providing services. Again, the Improper Payment Elimination Recovery Act. And, you know, the irony is in our after we take a break and come back with your rave at the top of the hour, you know, we're going to talk about this because you're going to see how much money they saved. It's funny because these acts happened in 2009, 2010. In 2011, they're reporting record numbers of recovery. And I'm just giving you the base of why we're recovering so much money. It's funny.
That's amazing. It's wonderful that you not only researched but kept up and are able to report on all this information that half of us don't even have a clue about. I just wish you could reach the masses.
We, EspriNet News, you can check us out on this network. Go to espriradio.soldasyracuse.com. We do news every Thursday, giving you news, a week summary of all the news that happened. So we literally put out news stories every week. And at the end of the show, I'm actually going to talk about Andrew Sullivan's article for Newsweek that talked about how the president outsmarted his critics and all of these other things that he did in his presidency. And the fact that he, out of 508 promises, specific promises, he actually had movement or fulfilled 506 of them. This was a Newsweek article by Andrew Sullivan. So if you want to look it up, it's called How Obama's Long Game Outsmarted His Critics. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But with this, you know, since we went through, you know, the fair sentencing, we didn't talk about the Daniel Pearl Freedom and Press Act or the Health Care Education Affordability Reconciliation Act, the Patent Protection Act, the Affordable Care Act, the FAA Transportation and Modernization and Safety Act, or the Small Business Act for investments and extending the Small Business Jobs Act. We didn't talk about that, and we're not going to. But if you want to call in and talk about it, hey, area code 909-265-9189. Raise your hand. I see we have some folks online, so if you press 1 and you want to jump in on the conversation, you can jump in. Because you know what? We have so much information, we're not going to even take another break. But still, get ready for your rave because we're coming at the top of the hour with you, Ron.
Okay.
Just to be right, we are going to yell at the top of the hour, so we thought we'd share. Now, with all of those legislative accomplishments, and I missed a ton of them, as I admitted, but here are some of the executive orders that he signed during his first 2 years. Again, we're going to have some executive orders after, but his first 2 years, executive order, the White House Initiative on Education and Excellence for Hispanics. Now, he signed an order to put some programs in place to help the Hispanic community in education. He increased the federal employment of individuals with disabilities to promote the federal government as a model employer when it comes to hiring the disabled. And he did that in 2010. which includes efforts to increase recruitment, hiring, and training for the disabled. Now, there is an executive order of stewardship of the oceans, our coast, and the Great Lakes, and that executive order was to make sure that they're not polluting our oceans, our coast, and our Great Lakes. It seemed like he had just a lot on his plate, didn't it? Now,
he sure did. They worked him to death and did nothing but complain the whole time.
Exactly. And everybody acts like they just forgot out of the you know, goodness of their heart, right? Now, he also established in his executive order the National Preservation and Health Promotion and a Public Health Council. He did that along with his Physical, Sports, and Nutrition Council as well. He had an executive order of historically black colleges and universities, promoting excellence, innovations, and sustaining the sustainability of historic black colleges and universities. Now, that initiative, it shall work with the executive department, agencies, and offices, the private sector, educational associations, philanthropic organizations, and other partners to increase the capacity of HBCUs to provide the highest quality education to the greatest number of students and to take advantage of these institutions' capabilities to serve the nation's need of 5 core tasks, and that was participating in federal programs, fostering enduring private sector and public sector initiative and private-public partnerships, improving availability and dissemination of quality information, sharing administrative and programmatic practices with HBCUs for the benefits of all, and exploring new ways to improve the relationships between the federal government and HBCUs. And what's more important about this, later on, there was a NASA grant that went to Howard, which was the largest grant to HBCU ever. We're going to talk about that later. But here was the initiative in 2010, and you're going to see what happened in 2011. Now, along with that, federal leadership to reduce the texting while driving, creating a White House Council on Women and Girls, and establishing the first White House Office of Urban Affairs. All right, there you have.
No, I'm serious. I didn't know about that. I didn't know he was involved in the texting while driving.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, like I said, from all of the acts and all of the work that was put in the first 2 years to get this going, you're going to see why we have so many accomplishments in 2011 and 12 without the help of Congress, because he really does not. He needs them for housekeeping, but since those guys are not working, they can't take credit for anything because of his great legislative record. Oh, I missed the Wall Street, you know, the Frank Dodd or Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protections Act. That was in July of 2010, which protects the consumer rights, unfair credit card practices like raising price hikes and existing credit card balances from mortgage brokers who prohibited from making higher commissions by selling mortgages they know they can't afford. Free credit scores are available if you receive worse terms on your loan because of something on your credit report, or if you're rejected, you automatically get a free credit report. That
right.
The president actually created that. And he also said no tax-funded bailouts of any of those guys. He actually put that in law. And if a company cannot make it, it will have to liquidate, is what they said in the Wall Street Reform. That's why Wall Street doesn't like them. I can see that now. Okay, businesses cannot charge extra fees for debit card swipe fees that exceeds the cost of the credit card processing transaction. Can't do it anymore.
Mm.
All right. Wasn't that a lot? All right.
That's a lot.
That is a lot, and you know what? And we're not even done, so we're gonna just take a quick break. We're gonna take 1 minute. We're gonna come back with Rave from Ronnie. How you feel, Ronnie?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm ready to go.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break.
See you after the break.
See you after the break, and you're listening to Ask Kathleen. I'm Jerome. We have Ronnie on. We're having a Okay, just to talk about facts about the president, we're just having too much fun and made me hit the wrong button. Okay. All right, we'll be back in just in 60 seconds.
Hands can do incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon. 18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's incredibly easy and effective. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Okay, I want to welcome you back to Ask Kathleen. This is Esprinet News' special report. We're going over the first term of the president with a lot of information, but this music doesn't mean that we're continuing with the program. This music means we're bringing Ronnie in for Ronnie's Rave. Hey, Ronnie.
Hey.
How are you?
Okay, I'm doing great. That was a nice break.
Okay.
And I wanted to just, I'm going to just go for it.
Okay.
I'm sure everybody has heard that George Zimmerman, the person who was allegedly, should I say, accused of murder, murdering Trayvon Martin.
Yeah, he said he killed him.
Right, so he's accused murder of Trayvon Martin. He had to turn himself in due to the fact that his bail was revoked. I know you had to hear about that.
Uh-huh.
His bond was revoked on Friday because he went to court initially when his lawyer presented his case, and when he pled not guilty, and then his lawyer requested a bond due to the fact that he felt like he was not a risk to, not a threat to society, and they gave him $150,000 bond because he claimed that he was bankrupt or indigent. He had no money. He and his wife testified that they had absolutely no money. Well, it turns out that he had erected a website to allow his supporters to contribute to his case and cause, and he had collected $200,000.
All right.
He and his wife conspired to hide this money, and they were on the phone when he was behind bars. She and he were speaking about this money and the fact that he told her to, well, move it here, move it there. And, you know, phone calls in jail are monitored. And so they not only were they overheard, you know, conspiring to move this money around so that it would not be detected, he also had a passport that he did not turn in. So he had one passport that they turned in, and he kept a passport away from the judge. So the judge revoked his bond, and he had to turn himself in today. So it seems that he turned himself in this afternoon around 2:36, I guess Eastern. I don't know if Florida is on the East Coast. Yeah, I believe Florida is Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, so around 2:30 this afternoon, he turned himself back in. So I thought that was a major turnabout in this case because, you know, his parents were devastated when they let him out, as well they should have been. But, you know, and by law, they felt under the law, self-defense? Not self-defense, the stand your ground law gives him the opportunity, or gives a person the opportunity to be able to get bonded out if, in fact, they had no other criminal, you know, no warrants or anything of the criminal, major criminal history. So the parents were devastated. Everybody's been devastated. It's like, this is ridiculous. You know, he's killed this child and he's walking around the street. And so this is, to me, fantastic. Because I didn't think he should have been walking around the street. I really didn't. I don't think it's right. I know if I saw him coming, I would be nervous. And any other young kid sees him coming, they have to be nervous.
Right. And you have to admit that. Like, he, as much as people like to claim that they have balance and want to hear one side of the story or not, the facts are really simple in this case. He called 911, jumped out of his car, ran towards a kid, and the kid ends up dead. That's pretty much what happened.
That's a wrap. That's a wrap. You know what I mean? That's the ball of wax right there. The kid is dead. And like I said the last time, I know this is a big graphic, you know, for me to say, but I just felt like I was so just upset about the situation, because every day that I turned on the TV, which, you know, I was so fortunate that I wasn't able to see his head for the last couple of days.
Okay.
I was away. I was occupied, so I didn't see it. But every time I looked up, I saw these little scratches on the back of his head, you know, with these little trickles of blood. And I'm saying, why not show the bullet hole that blew this child to the next world, or that put this child on the ground? Show us that, you know, because you're tainting the jury anyway. You know, you're swaying the jury towards his side by saying, oh, he had these scratches on the back of his head. Well, then go on and pull out the picture of Trayvon's chest.
You know what? I look at that a little bit differently, and so I'm sure the people of Florida are glad I'm not a jury, but I say you got beat down by a 17-year-old. You rolled up on him and got beat down. I don't feel sorry
I don't feel sorry for him. What did he expect? I would have hit him in his head, too.
See, that shows,
you would have, too. Anybody
exactly,
would have.
That shows the fact that he was swelling up on this kid who he couldn't beat, so he shot him. I'm just saying, like, you can just have a little bit extra in that, but if I had to look at that rationally as a juror, I'd say, instead of running to your car to go get beat down, you should have been running someplace else.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you would
have... You shouldn't have been bothering the kid in the first place.
You shouldn't have been bothering him in the first place. So
that's all there is to it. And if the child had done something wrong, if he was robbing, stealing, or whatever
he thought he was going to do...
Well, no, but okay. But say he was doing something. I don't think he was, but in say that you
I say he had Skittles and iced tea. We don't have to even do a hypothetical. It's my quantum.
That's true.
In here. We can't even play that game just because he had Skittles and iced tea. He was talking to his girlfriend on the phone and it was raining.
Yeah. Okay. Like, so now you should have just left him alone. Then we'll leave
exactly.
It at that.
There's nothing negative even possible in that.
should not have been out of his car bothering this young man.
He shouldn't have followed him. He shouldn't have bothered him. So I'm completely with you.
He should have left him alone. And so now he's back in jail, so we'll see how this turns out, because I'm sure his attorney is going to try to get him out again. But, you know, okay, so we'll put up the $200,000. But now my next portion of the rant, and I'll draw it to a quick conclusion. How do I set up a website to get people to $200,000?
Ronnie's rage is going
no
to turn into we're going to do another segment called Ronnie's Telethon.
Exactly.
We're going to go to the big
all
board.
About me.
With Ronnie. Because if he set up a PayPal, which cost him nothing, and then he got people to donate to it. So let's work that out, Ronnie. How about that? We're going to set up a nice little telethon, and we're going to see how we're going to raise money for Ronnie.
Let's just raise money. I mean, we can always donate it. We have plenty of charities.
I mean, I'm sure that there's some nice shoes or outfits that you would like. You know what this reminds me of? Stephen Colbert and his Super PAC. He's playing with Super PAC money, but he still gets money, which is hilarious to me. He's like,
I don't see him.
Oh, Stephen Colbert show?
No, I've never watched it.
Oh, he has a Super PAC, and so the Super PAC is, I think it's called America Americans for a Better Tomorrow tomorrow. Like, it's not really tomorrow, it's the day after that. And so he literally gets people to donate money to his super PAC, and he runs commercials. He does whatever he wants to just to mess with the political system because it's perfectly legal.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Maybe we should get a super PAC.
I think I need a super PAC.
We got to run Ronnie's. Well, we shouldn't put that out there because we're doing presidential news today. But
well,
no,
I was going to say I could definitely donate it to President Obama's campaign.
See, look at that. See, and just from doing good news on President Obama, see, we can get donations already. All right.
Absolutely.
There
absolutely.
We go.
He can stand more money.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, one more thing.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll get a chance to get to it. They put out Mr. Mitt Romney's
birth certificate.
Yeah, you saw that? No, not his birth certificate, but his annual tax return, you know, his annual salary for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it topped out at, I guess, a little bit under or a little bit over $400,000 when they said he was worth $300 million. So I wonder what happened. But anyway.
Oh, I can tell you what happened. I have a really good answer for this. Can you say Cayman? Can you say Mitt Romney's hiding money?
Still?
Because I can. Huh?
Still?
Come on. He knew he was running for president a year ago. He started stashing money. I think we need to bring the Justice Department in on this. But on that note, we got to go.
Move on.
Doesn't it seem obvious? If you have that much money, he gives his kids $1 million a year. His kids don't have jobs.
But they said he only made $400,000, which only, he only made $400,000 in 2011.
See, we can't mix facts on this show. So on this show, we're just going to say what it is. His kids get $1 million a year from Mitt Romney. Now, whatever his taxes are showing is what they're showing, but they already know they get a tax-free $1 million from Mitt Romney a year. That is not working. Now,
wow.
And you know, and just as I get ready to go back to the presidential facts, you know, it reminds me because Mitt Romney did release his birth certificate with that the alleged racist Donald Trump at the thing in Vegas, and he showed his birth certificate, which showed that his father, Mitt Romney's father, was not even born in this country, and he ran for president. That was the scandal that nobody really picked up. But for those who are wondering, just before they did that, a week prior, the state of Hawaii verified President Obama's birth records again for Arizona's chief elections officer. They went back and forth, and this guy Joshua Winch, who is a special assistant to Hawaii's attorney general, said in an email, the matter was resolved. Arizona has the verification that they're looking for, and they sent another verification of President Obama's birth. But it's not going to put it to rest because Arizona said, oh, yeah, we withdrew our request. They didn't withdraw their request. They were sent verification from the Hawaii's attorney general.
Well, what is the deal? Why do they? Why won't they? Why won't Donald Trump stop it? I heard him arguing with.
He's a joke.
Yeah, I'm arguing with the gentleman on. I think it's CNN.
Don't watch Donald Trump. He's an alleged carnival barker.
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
And the president called him as such, and so I just happened to catch it going by. I didn't know it had started up again. And he said, listen, what is wrong with you? Don't you see the birth announcement in the newspaper? You think they forged that like 4 years ago? What is wrong with you?
All right. Well, you know what? And on that note, we are not wasting another second on those
not
fools.
Not another second.
That's what they
that's
are.
So, yeah.
There you go. And so that was Ronnie's Rave. And now we are now going back to our theme music for the president. Because he's getting to be a little get the dirt off his shoulder as we talk about his accomplishments again.
Awesome.
So we already went through 2009, 2010. So with the Congress that pretty much has an approval rating of about 13%, and they were as low as 9% in their approval rating. We are going to start to give you some information about what happened over the last 2011 and part of 2012 for the President of the United States. Now, one of the things that President Obama has done, well, I shouldn't say one of them. We're going to start with this. Car maker General Motors made a record profit of in 2011, and it had become the number one automaker in sales in the world for the first time in a few years. Now, this is after the auto bailout. The firm saw a rise in auto sales of 9 million vehicles, and its $9.2 billion earnings last year was the largest profit in its 103-year history.
Woo!
Yeah. How about a company that they said let them fail? They'll never be as big as they were before. Now, the U.S. will make a record profit from the bailouts of the nation's banks and car makers at the height of the financial crisis. That's according to the Treasury. Now, the bank bailouts resulted a return of $2 billion into the Treasury and said its latest projection for the government's response in the crisis was that $2 billion, and the recovery of the auto industry added a positive 230,000 jobs. It saved nearly a million jobs, and even though the recession was the worst since the Great Depression, and $19.2 trillion of wealth was wiped out during our recession, the vast majority of the projected returns is more than $179 billion, and that comes from the Federal Reserve's huge investments into the loans to the banks. They paid them back. Okay. Now, President Obama signed into law a major overhaul of the nation's patent system. That was the easy way for investors to bring back their products to the market, and the America Invest Act is the first significant change to the patent laws since 1952. Okay, these are all this year. We're not even going back to 2009 and 2010. Mm-hmm. These are all current legislation. Now, the president has also signed
an executive
order.
Does he do this every day?
No, this is the work that he's putting in while people are saying that what is the president doing and he didn't do anything. So we're doing a show on it. So we're not even close to halfway through this list. Now, the president also signed an executive order to address the U.S. shortage of life-saving medicine. Now, the measure will require the Food and Drug Administration to identify drug shortages early and speed up the review process for companies trying to raise production and increase supply. So more than 200 essential medicines are scarce this year, is what the FDA said. So the president,
yeah, I saw that on the news.
Put them on it. Yep. The president also signed the Stock Act, which is a bill that was meant to curb potential insider trading by members of Congress. So he put an executive order in there, and now he has the law that they can't do that. Now, the president also created the first national monument of his presidency. He signed the signing and the proclamation to preserve a former army fort that was a safe haven for slaves during the Civil War. He recently signed that. Now, the president also ordered all federal agencies to coordinate their efforts to assist small businesses and seek to begin to increase exports through a new web platform called Business USA. So you can actually, as a small business, bid with the big boys by going on this web platform called Business USA. Just go to whitehouse.gov and you can find it there. Now, the president also signed an executive order to protect military families and veterans from aggressive recruiting by higher education institutions targeted especially for profit colleges who are seeking their military benefits without any intention to provide a meaningful education. So he signed an executive order saying that if you prey on military families, that you will be prosecuted.
Mm.
You wouldn't believe the stories. There were a lot of stories about the for-profit for-profit colleges actually signing up military veterans who were disabled and just taking their money and not even they were just getting benefits and not actually getting any education. They were taking the money. All right. Now, The Obama administration saw its first monthly budget surplus in April, that just passed, with the federal government recording a $58 billion surplus, and that's according to figures from the Congressional Budget Office.
You have to repeat that. You got to be kidding.
The first monthly budget surplus happened in April, recording a $58 billion federal government surplus for the Obama administration. It's the first one. And that's according to the Independent Congressional Budget Office. Okay. So just to throw more highlights.
I'm speechless.
Right. Okay. And the FCC unveils low-cost, high-speed internet plans for low-income families. Now, any family that qualifies for a free school lunch program in this country is eligible for $9.95 a month broadband service from any provider in the country. Just in case you don't know, low-income families, if you can get a free lunch, your kids qualify for free lunch in school, you can get internet service broadband for $9.95 a month. The cable companies are not really telling you that they provide that service, but that is law, and FCC already approved it, and you can just call them, and they'll
call the cable company?
Mm-hmm. All of them have to provide it. Now,
okay, so this, why is it nobody knows any of this? We haven't heard any of this.
Turn into Esprinet News on Thursday. That's
okay.
All I can tell you. I say that because we are now giving you news on Ask Kathleen that is out there. You can Google them. They're all press releases. They're on AP feeds, UPI feeds, Reuters, all over the place, and they're just not covered. I can't really say why, but they don't fit the narrative, because what would the Republicans talk about if you knew all of this stuff? Really. Fox didn't cover any of this, I don't think. Now, in another story, the Americans are paying the smallest share of their income tax since 1958. How about that for no new taxes? Now, a reflection of tax cuts in the weak economy is the reason for this, because if you don't make any money, you don't pay taxes. But the total tax burden for all federal, state, and local taxes dropped to 23.6% of income, and that's according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis. Now, by contrast, individuals spend roughly 27% of their income on taxes in the 1970s, 1980s, and 1990s. So we don't really pay taxes as much anymore for all those people who say we pay a lot of taxes. 1970s, we paid more taxes. Now, the Bush-era tax cuts for the nation's top earners, combined with the cost of fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan, will account for nearly half of public debt in 2019. So everything that we're doing now cost us nothing, but those two, the Bush tax cuts and the two wars, half our debt will be measured by the economic output of the last administration. Isn't that sad?
That is sad.
I know. But on the bright side, the Congressional Budget Office announced that the president has about $200 billion to spend as an economic package, and it will not hurt our deficit. So if you pass the Jobs Act, they anticipate another 2 million jobs and 2% down on our unemployment if the president's Jobs Act passed through Congress, which it probably won't. But if it did, the Independent Congressional Budget Office said that it will take 2 points off of our unemployment.
Question.
Interesting number.
Question.
Yes.
Two questions.
Okay.
One, why wouldn't they want to pass it? A.
Oh, because. Okay.
And B, in quantum physics. I'm all into it now. In quantum physics, if we were to apply a positive outlook, and just a total positive outlook, would our country not be more uplifted? Would we not prosper?
hence why we're doing the show, right? So we are telling you all of these highlights to let you know that the negative picture that was painted is not even there anymore. We don't do terror alerts anymore. The president stopped those because it was
putting... Yeah, there's different colors. This color,
right.
That color.
Today it's orange, yeah. So the president knows that you cannot keep bombarding people with negative, and all of these things are happening. People are making all of this money. Now, for example, gas is now down 21 cents from last month. Last year, gas was at a two-year high at $114.83 a barrel. Now, today, gas is $83.90 a barrel.
And that's still too high.
Right. No, it is. But get this, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder called for investigation on regulators and told them to be on alert for instances of fraud and manipulation to keep the gas prices high or keep the gas prices artificially high, and they mysteriously started going down. Isn't that interesting?
No, say that again. You lost me.
The Attorney General Eric Holder called for an investigation and called for investigators and regulators to be on alert for fraud and manipulation in the gas markets. They're
okay,
going to prosecute them. And so gas is mysteriously
kind of
going
down. It
just
starts trickling down.
Oh, once you start, they're going to throw people in jail, right? It happens. Now, I want to remind you, you're listening to Ask Kathleen. It's your host, Jerome, today, guest hosting, and with Ronnie. Ronnie's coming in. She already did a raise.
Kathleen is on vacation. She's on assignment this week.
I know. Yeah, Kathleen's on assignment. She will be back with hard-hitting Ask Kathleen a little bit later after she kicks us both off. But that's a whole other story. But we are covering on this version of Ask Kathleen, on this special segment, we are going through some of that president's or some of the things that the president has done and his administration has done over his first term. So we ask the question, what has the president done and since he's been in office, and should he have a second term? So we're going to ask Ronnie that after we finish with what has he done. So we're still on what has he done, and I think we filled a good portion of the show with a lot of things. But
you
can still save your opinion, Ronnie. We can do that at the end. We'll still try to do that. Now, in March 2011, President Obama vowed to reduce oil imports by one-third in less than a decade. Now, here's the remarkable thing about that. The U.S., for the first time, export more refined oil or gasoline, refined oil. We export 3.2 million barrels a day from the U.S., and we import 2.2. And that is the first time that that's ever happened, that we export more oil than we actually import.
It's amazing. That's awesome. It's fantastic. It's stupendous.
Yep. And actually, when we produce literally more oil in South Dakota than any other state in the nation this year.
Okay, South Dakota. Why is that? Well, it's close to Alaska, yes?
Well, it's just there's just reserves there. And you know what it reminds me of, though? The thing to note about South Dakota and oil is that South Dakota and oil means this. You have the XL pipeline that they're talking about running from Canada to Texas, and the XL pipeline, which is up near South Dakota, will transfer oil from the Midwest, from up north, all the way down to Texas, which means gas prices will go up on the East Coast and in the Midwest because our refineries for gasoline is up there.
Hmm.
Now, isn't that interesting for the news to not pick that up, right?
Very interesting.
Okay. Now, yep, and for those who missed it, you know, a state former health director who was a Republican in Hawaii looked at and publicly confirmed the president's original long-form birth certificate. And I'll give you his name. It's Dr. Chino Fuca. And he was the former health director, but he's a Republican. A state former health director of Hawaii. So you want to Google him. He's already seen it. He said that there was no problem and let it go, people. I thought I'd do that twice today.
Yeah.
Just let them know. All right. So there you go. So I want to remind you, you're listening to Ask Kathleen. Call in. You can listen in. Raise your hand on the line if you want to jump in. Area code 909-265-9189. Jeez, I almost forgot. Kathleen is going to get me on that number. There we go. See, I should have just asked Ronnie, right?
9189.
It is really tough for me. Now, really quickly, we're going to go through, let's go through some other things that happened this year. Now, the Obama, when we start talking about the administration, now we talked about what the president has done, but let's talk about the administration a little bit. And let's talk about because we can talk about the troop, Iraq troop timeline, that he actually ended all operations in December 2011, the president did, after he ran on the fact that he said, hey, we're going to leave. So
right.
The president in October 2011 announced that we would be ending our operations and the troops will be home by Christmas. He actually made it before Christmas and ended our operations in December. So that would be the president. Now, one of the greatest intelligence and military operations in U.S. history was the president sending in U.S. commandos into Pakistan after September 11th mastermind Osama bin Laden, in case you guys are forgetting that one. I thought I'd leave the big ones off.
That was the big one.
Right.
And I have the Newsweek article right here. This says, The picture on the Newsweek cover is so awesome, and it says the SEALs, how Obama learned to use his secret weapon. Awesome.
No, right. Hey, see, there you go. And it took courage. He didn't have to risk his presidency on it. It turned out for the best, and we don't have to go into the Somali pirate thing to tell you that the president is decisive, made decision. It happened, and he moved on. So for all you Democrats out there who seem to have short-term memory, don't move on. Just remember what we're saying on this program, because these are all facts today. So we're not really giving our opinion. We're giving our opinion outside of the facts, but we're still, these are facts. Now, as far as his administration is concerned, let's go through some of the things that the other parts of government has done. We already talked about the FCC unveiling the low-cost internet, but in case you didn't know, violent crime in the U.S. has dropped dramatically in the last 3 years, despite the economic downturn, and that's the latest FBI figures that shows violent crime is the lowest since the 1960s, with a 5.5% decline. That was in 2010. 2011, it was nearly 6%. Followed by a 5.3 drop in the previous year, which was 2009. Now, violent crime, they said it's the fourth straight year of decline, but it was on the decline once the president got in, and we're counting 2010, so this would be the fourth straight year. But coincidentally, it's all the years that the president has been in office.
We
all
love him. You're
supposed to hold it to the end because we don't know. I mean, I think that just shows that we just had so much information that how can you not? So the Obama administration cracked down on big pharma, which is the big pharmaceutical companies like, Pfizer. Matter of fact, here's what we're going to do. We're going to tell you how much the Obama administration got from them, right? Pfizer, $2.3 billion. Eli Lilly, $1.4 billion. Allergen got $600 million. There was fines for GlaxoSmithKline, Bristol-Myers Squibb, and Forced Labs for hiding evidence to illegally promote and illegally market and then profit from medication. AstraZeneca was fined by the FDA for more than $50 million for deceptive or misleading practices. Now, remember when we went through all the laws in 2009 and 10? This is where the money kicks in. Now, Bank of America and Saxon Mortgage will pay more than $22 million to resolve claims that lenders illegally forced foreclosures on around 180 military servicemen, and that's according to the Justice Department. J.P. Morgan Chase has to pay $28 million to settle their claims of rigging auctions to auction off foreclosures. Now, Wall Street branch of their Deutsche Banks helped high net worth Americans hide $29 billion in fraud tax shelters between 1996 and 2002, and ducking $6 billion in federal taxes, and they were prosecuted, and Deutsche Bank will cough up $403.8 million to the federal government right off the bat. They're collecting money by the way, right?
It's staggering.
Yes. Now, we have some more. A settlement with the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, one of the most significant legal actions targeted Wall Street's role in the 2008 financial crisis, and as part of the settlement, investors who were harmed will receive all of their money back. J.P. Morgan Chase has agreed to pay $153.6 million to settle fraud cases that it misled buyers of complex mortgage investments just before the housing market collapsed. Morgan Keenan Company and Morgan Asset Management will pay $200 million to settle their charges of fraud for subprime mortgage-backed securities. Man, the SEC is on people. Okay, U.S. financial regulator. These are all separate cases, by the way. Now, the U.S. financial regulators bring civil charges against six former top executives of mortgage giant Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The SEC said that they misled investors. So some of those guys are in jail. So it goes like this. Five are in jail now, and another one is on trial. The SEC is not playing. The Justice Department brought charges against 18 of the bank former executives, and nine have already pled guilty. That would be of J.P. Morgan's bank.
Wow.
Just to tell you that the Justice Department is doing work, I just want to tell you. Now, Bank of America agreed to pay $335 million to solve allegations that its countrywide unit engaged in widespread discrimination against qualified African Americans and Hispanic borrowers for home loans. Now, the settlement with the Justice Department was the largest settlement in history over residential fair lending practices, $335 million. All right. Wells Fargo agreed to pay $85 million in civil penalties to the Federal Reserve for their subprime mortgages, by the way. And Bank of America will pay $116,785 to each military serviceman whose home was unlawfully foreclosed upon, plus compensation for lost equity. Since the Justice Department sued them, and they're the largest settlement under the Service Members Civil Relief Act.
Stunning. It is. It's stunning.
Yeah, isn't it interesting that we don't know that all this stuff is going on in the background, and when somebody says what has been going on in this during this administration, people are silent on television.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So now under new government rules, airlines, to ensure passengers won't be delayed on a tarmac for hours, are required reimbursement
fees. That one I did know.
For lost luggage, yep. And regulations will force airlines to prominently disclose potential fees on their websites, including extra charges for checked baggage, changing reservations, and seat upgrades. Now, I like this one because now when you go to a airline's website and it says here's the price of the ticket, it actually is the price. They have to include everything in the price. So if you go there and it says, a ticket costs $250, that is it with tax and fees. Now, the airlines have been fighting this, but.
Yeah, they're fighting because they love all that. The movable dollar.
Yeah, we could tag the rest on later. Now, One of the stories that I talked about earlier, because we talked about HBCUs, I see a comment in a chat room from Love Spoken Word, from Finesse is out there. I want to say hey to him in the chat room. But we talked about the HBCUs, and one of Morgan, I said it was Howard, but it was actually Morgan State University, received a landmark $28.5 million portion of a five-year grant from NASA. Now, the grant allows Morgan State, which is in East Baltimore, to conduct research supporting NASA's Earth and Space Science Projects, which is the largest. This is the largest grant in Morgan State's 144-year history. Okay. Did we make enough history tonight on this show?
We made a lot of history tonight. Incredible. Incredible.
Okay, here's one number I'll end this particular part of the segment with. Federal authorities say they recovered $4.1 billion in healthcare fraud judgments last year, a record high, which officials credit to the new tool for cracking down on deceitful Medicare claims. Now, the recovered funds are up roughly 50% from 2009. So after they passed that Recovery Act in 2009, they actually recovered $4.1 billion.
Oh, my. Are you kidding me?
Oh, no. I have another one that's actually better than that. That's what they recovered. And now the federal healthcare system, which puts restrictions on from the new healthcare law, it puts restrictions on conditions of how insurers can spend money, has new rule, which came into place last year. Now states, the new rule states that insurers must spend between 80% and 85% of the premium dollars on medical care. So the insurance company that violates that rule will be required to refund each customer by August 1st. So if you pay health care to an insurance company and your money doesn't go towards premiums, guess what? You get money back. Now, the estimate suggests that 9 million Americans can receive up to $1.4 billion, which works out to be $160 per person. Now, that is what's in healthcare. Do I have to repeat that one?
Yeah.
Because I think I lost you on that.
You lost me on that.
Right, because this is a part of the healthcare system that when you get paid for your health insurance, that you're paying because you possibly will use your healthcare insurance, right?
Yeah.
But if they don't use 80 to 85% of your premiums, if none of that is used on your health coverage for the year, you're getting a refund from your insurance company. They overbill you.
God.
That's how much they overbill you. 9 million Americans will get $1.4 billion this year, and they're required to pay you by August 1st of this year.
Is any of it retroactive?
You know, we wish it was, but that law just went into effect last year.
Oh.
So when you say your government isn't working for you, I think somebody needs to ask somebody. So.
Well, thank goodness we have you, or else we'd be in the dark.
No. You know what? I have to give credit where credit's due. This would be the administration that said there will be change when I get in office. It's funny that nobody, the media won't tell you what the change is, but we actually know because it's sitting in front of you. So, you know, the biggest controversy of the administration, and, you know, this is before, I know we have about 15 minutes of the show left, but just before we go to that, to some of the big ticket stuff, one of the biggest thing was the healthcare overhaul. So I thought I'd share those kind of tidbits for the show. But the women's preventative care under President Obama's healthcare overhaul says that since birth control is the most common prescribed drug to women, health plans should make them readily available. Now,
okay,
Kathleen,
so you know, amongst the religious sect,
right,
that's the curse.
Okay. So, okay. Okay, now we're going to go into this, because before we go into it, though, let's talk about here's the other preventative services that are included. Now, there's called Well Woman Preventive Care annually. You know, that's free. Screening for diabetes during pregnancy is free. Screening for viruses that can cause cervical cancer for women 30 and older, you can get those for free. Annual HIV counseling and screening for sexual active women is how it's stated. Screening for and counseling for domestic violence is provided. Annual counseling for any diseases is covered, is what it says. Support for breastfeeding mothers, including the cost of renting pumps, is also included. Now, birth control was inside of all of those women's care issues. So let's go to the issue of birth control. Ronnie, I'm going to let you have this one. Now, paint me a picture. What are we talking about here? Because this argument just kind of throws me when you talk about the religious aspect or the personal aspect. Where are we going?
Oh, the spiritual aspect. So they feel that abortion is killing a life. You're actually destroying a life. Birth control. You're trying to play God. In other words, you're not using self-control. You're using chemicals to prevent your body from doing what it naturally does, is reproducing. I'm mixed on it, honestly. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay.
Because I know that there's a lot of people that should not have kids.
Okay, Ronnie, now see, you're going to mess with my
quantum.
I'm going to have to use some quantum in this. Go ahead.
Okay, my poor little, who I adore, the Octomom.
Mm-hmm.
And I my heart goes out to her. I've wanted to go actually leave and go and take care of those kids, because now that they're here, they need to be helped. They need to be taken care of. But I don't get how in the world she ended up having 8 kids at one time. It wasn't beneficial. I'm not saying that every woman couldn't handle it. I know I couldn't handle it, but I didn't want to see her have an abortion. Absolutely not. But one of the problems. They're saying that I heard somewhere that he signed an abortion act into the first thing he did when he got into office was sign in an abortion act, and then the birth control and so forth. And it's been a big issue amongst women. And
wait a minute, who did that?
I just heard it, and I didn't know if it was
true
or not.
We can't repeat that because I'm going to have to clear it up. He signed no act pertaining to abortion. By the way, the president, if we're talking about what laws, because that's why we're covering some of the legislation, and there was nothing. That is a fight for anti-abortion activists. So we're gonna go back to the real issue. It is birth control. So the issue is, in the healthcare legislation, birth control is used for many things. It regulates your cycle. It is for people who have bad ailments during their menstrual, they can actually get birth control. That's why some youth get on birth control, not because they're actively having sex or don't want to have kids. It's for regulative purposes, which makes it a medicine to some degree. So now that can be preventative care, it is included into the birth control, that's included into the Health Care Act. So no one is telling someone to take it or not to take it. It's not the issue. The issue is whether you have it available to you, knowing that most women take it. And so that is pretty much the basis of it, not the individual cases. And it's almost like when I hear people talk about welfare and say, yes, somebody stole money and they got a nice car or they're selling food stamps. Who cares? Ugh. The average welfare recipient gets $5,000 a year in welfare generally.
Which is starvation.
And the average welfare recipient is a white female with 4 kids. So we need to make sure that we have our facts right, and we do not punish everybody because you have a few nut cases. So this is why this is important that we have the discussion, and we put that out there that, no, the president signed no abortion type of legislation. That's silly. And, you know, there would have been a big story about it and all of that good stuff. So it didn't happen. People, it is an election season, so folks are starting rumors and saying they are secretly doing something. When I have all of this information in front of me, there is not too much that's secret when you can sign an act into law. That's not secret. You can go to whitehouse.gov, or you can go to USSenate.gov. You can see all of the things that they passed through to be signed into law as well, the things that didn't make it, if you want to find those. So they're all available online on the Internet. And the president signed, which I did not mention, which called the Plain Writing Act of 2010. It was, the purpose of the act was to improve the effectiveness and accountability of federal government or federal agencies to the public by promoting clear government communication that public can understand and use. So they cannot use legal jargon when they send out information to the general public. It has to be plain. There's a Plain Writing Act of 2010 that the president signed into law.
I love it. The Plain Writing Act. That's awesome, too. So are you saving the big one for last?
Well, you know what? And being that we have only 9 minutes left in the program, here's what I was saving. Now, we won't take any breaks, but we're going to go straight on to this. Now, Andrew Sullivan wrote this article, and let alone David K. Johnson's article. I will talk about this on a different show, but David K. Johnson talked about austerity economics opposed to what the president is doing. Now, if we watch how austerity works, which means cut, 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 cut. We don't need to provide the services in smaller government, but we're watching people who practice that. We have examples of them. Ireland has 25% unemployment. Greece is about 21. England is having problems. They're all – not England, I'm sorry. That would be Greece, Italy, Ireland. All of those guys are practicing austerity, and it's not working. So David K. Johnson, an economist who won a Pulitzer – wrote a nice article about that, but now we're going to talk about Andrew Sullivan's Newsweek article about how President Obama's long game will outsmart his critics. Now, this article, it attacks from both the right and the left on the president, and his policies are out of bounds, is what he says. He says that the president dropped the Bowles-Simpson Debt Commission to ignore war crimes of the past and all those. You can criticize him on that. But what you can't criticize him on is that when he took office, the United States was losing about 750,000 jobs a month is what we're losing. And the last quarter of 2011 saw an annualized drop in growth of 9%. It was the most serious downturn since the 1930s, and there was a real chance for systemic collapse in our finance system. So Andrew Andrew Sullivan wrote this article and talked about all of these accomplishments. Now, the U.S. economy was shrinking at 6% and now grows at 2%, which is the most dramatic turnaround in our lifetime, right? The president has also, just to give you some more facts on President Obama, but under President Obama, annual federal spending, taxes, and budget deficit is down from the time that he took office. All of that spending is down. So let me give you the numbers. Federal spending has grown at its lowest pace in 60 years. The president has only gone up 1.4%. Now, under Reagan, his first year, it went up 8.7. Under the first Bush, the older Bush, it was 4.9. Under Clinton, it was 5.4% of the GDP, just generally. And under George Bush, or under Clinton, it was 3.2, which was low. And under George W. Bush, it was 7.3. Federal spending is 1.4 under President Obama.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. Exactly. And so just to see how amazing those numbers are is what we are ignoring when it really comes down to this particular president. Now, during his time, over 4.2 million jobs have been created in the private sector. But here is where we're losing. The government employment, when people keep saying the president is expanding jobs, federal employment for 2009 was 4,430 jobs. 2010, 4,443 jobs. That is 13 more jobs from 2009 to 2010 on the federal side.
13 jobs. Okay.
13 jobs. That is our biggest government expansion. President added 13 more jobs. All right. So, again, stimulus took effect, added immediately 2.4 million jobs. And overall budget has declined 2.6% over the past 3 years, and that compares to 2.2% during the early Reagan administration. It did go down a little bit. They cut every doggone thing. And the reason the stimulus failed, now this is important because people keep bringing this up and saying the president said that if it's not under 8%, that blah, blah, blah. But it failed, and it failed to bring the unemployment down to 8% in its first year. But that was not done by the president. The president never said it would be below 8%. His transition team, before he took office, someone from his transition team said it. So now people say the president said it would be below 8. Plus, the 8% prediction was made before the president took office and was wrongly, it was wrong solely because the statistics was guessing that the economy was shrinking at 4%. And it was shrinking at 9. It was double what they thought it was when he took office. So if you remove the statistical miscalculation, you know, made by the government and the private sector economists, the stimulus did exactly what it's supposed to do, and it put a bottom under the economy. So the stimulus
worked. What it was supposed to do. It worked. It worked like
it, sure
it was supposed to. And anybody that says it didn't work is lying to you in regards to what the alternative was going to be.
Right. Yep. And so even in his article, Andrew Sullivan says Obama has made the country made other countries actively seek America's help for its role in foreign policy, and with the bad feelings of the Iraq war, they still work closely with the United States because Obama has simply, quietly, relentlessly decimated our real enemies and is winning the broader propaganda war. Since he took office, Al-Qaeda's popularity in the Muslim world has plummeted. President Obama. Yep.
Plummeted.
Yep.
And
plummeted.
Initially when they reported that it was probably a ruse that they killed Osama bin Laden. Remember that when they reported it was probably, if we didn't see the pictures, we don't believe. Well, you know, we didn't really have to see any pictures because he hasn't made any more videos.
Right.
And neither has any of his other people. We've heard a threat here and there, but for the most part, they have been they've taken the wind out of their sails.
Right, and there you go. And, you know, and on top of that,
we're not going to underestimate them because we know that they're somewhere trying to regroup.
You create your own enemies as well. But everyone who they thought was involved and identify, the president's done a good job of staying on top of it and catching who they were looking for. So no one can ever say that Democrats don't do a good job at military missions. That's not the case anymore. President Obama has set a different precedent for all Democrats. And
he
and PolitiFacts,
different precedent.
Yeah, totally different. And PolitiFacts, who gets a lot of stuff wrong, in this article recently noted that 508 specific promises, a third of them have been fulfilled, and only two have not had any action taken on them. And to have all of that done while simultaneously battling, you know, economic hurricanes and, you know,
yeah,
all these other
that.
Things is amazing.
We had
so
quite
out
a
of,
bit of other things, too.
Yep. And so,
so it's
that
like, what,
he,
four major disasters? Okay, we had the disaster in, is it Joplin?
Yep,
Joplin,
and Joplin and Missouri. All those other things. Yes, sir.
It was
and so
incredible.
In
Texas we had.
Yeah. So out of all of those things, we know the president has been doing work. And like they said, out of 508 specific promises, 506 there was specific movement on. So we thought we'd share that and make sure that you have some rightful information in case you go back in front of the water cooler and have to yell at some of your coworkers, and when they say, what has the president ever done? You have Ask Kathleen. You can check us out in the archives. You know, Ronnie, thanks for the rave today.
Oh, wonderful. I enjoyed it. It was such a great, so informative, fantastic. I'm glad we had this time together. I'm sorry Kathleen wasn't here to weigh in with us, but like
you know,
she's on assignment. She'll be back.
That's right. And, you know, we try to not have too much fun when Kathleen's not here because I think she's going to yell at us.
No.
So,
yeah, she will. She'll listen and she says, well, that you didn't need me. But we did.
Yeah,
of course we missed her, absolutely.
Yeah, this is just between us and the listeners. Don't tell Kathleen.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we'll meet you back here next week.
There you go, and we'll be back with Kathleen on Ask Kathleen. Ryan and I will be joining. Ryan's co-hosting, so she'll be here, and I will stick my head in every now and then and make a little bit of noise. But thanks for joining us here on a Sunday, and hopefully everybody else can enjoy their day. All right? Thanks, Ronnie, for hanging.
Have a blessed week.
All right, you too. Thanks for joining us.